Welcome to GRE. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold, with a more disruptive episode than usual this week. After we take the temperature of the real estate market, my guest and I discuss how blockchain and tokenization are poised to radically transform the industry within the next 5 years, today on Get Rich Education. For accredited investors, if you've ever dreamed about making 10 to 12% of passive income annually, Wagner Nolasco and his partners of professional syndicators have the answer for you. Invest in one of the safest assets available on the planet, real estate. On a preferred return basis, you will collect your money before anyone else does. To find out more about these opportunities, visit imaccredited.com or text 305-684-2222 for your free investment guide. You know, a lot of investors choose either cash flow or home price appreciation, but one real estate market could provide both: Jacksonville, Florida. They've got 27% lower home prices and higher rents than the national median. Their market has appreciated 34% more than other comparable cash flow markets over the last 30 years. Get positive cash flow today and above average appreciation for tomorrow. They often have available inventory in Jacksonville, if you can believe that. Start at cashflowandgrowth.com.
You're listening to the show that has created more financial freedom than nearly any show in the world. This is Get Rich Education.
Welcome to GRE, from DC's Capital Beltway to California's Pacific Coast Highway and across 188 nations worldwide. I'm Keith Weinhold. This is Get Rich Education. Yeah, you know that you're getting those place names from a geography guy like me nearly every week here. How are you today? Welcome back to the 396th consecutive week here at GRE. Yeah, a more disruptive episode than usual. Now, some mad scientists develop hypotheses and perform experiments with tubes and beakers in a laboratory. We're talking with a different type of mad scientist this week, a mad scientist of real estate who's concocted some pretty compelling formulas, and profitable ones too. A lot of it helps you extrapolate out this trajectory for real estate's future direction with prices and migration data, and just how the blockchain disrupts the discipline of real estate. In our conversation today, I think there are going to be a number of times where you tell yourself, like, oh, that's good for real estate, and other times where you'll say, oh, that's bad for real estate. Let's see what today's guest has brewing in the laboratory. This week's guest is a technologist who is universally known in real estate circles as the mad scientist of multifamily. And besides being one of the most in-demand speakers in commercial real estate, he's a data guru that treats his $947 million portfolio as an ongoing experiment in efficiency and optimization. His company invests in 10 different states, and he really keeps emotion out of it, and he simply goes where the data tells him to. He's the founder of the multifamily and commercial real estate investment company, Grow Capitus. Hey, it's your first time. Welcome here, Neil Bawa.
Thanks for having me on the show, Keith. Very excited to be here.
Neil's last name is spelled B-A-W-A. So before we talk about real estate trends, Neil, let's start at the beginning. I mean, really, how does a computer engineer and a data scientist end up in commercial real estate with a quasi-billion-dollar portfolio now?
Well, I'm going to give you the stereotyped answer, like millions of others, right? 2006, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I realized that, you know, I have this massive W-2 tech income and I'm mostly giving away my salary both to the IRS and to Taxifornia, right? It's not what you make, it's what you keep. So like many other tech geeks, I started my investing my money into real estate for tax benefits. And that's really where my story became different. So I'm a data scientist. I saw lots and lots of million-dollar tech companies turn into billion-dollar tech companies just by applying data science, right? It's the most popular job in the US, by the way, today for high-paying jobs. And I noticed that the biggest chunk of investment in real estate actually came from retail investors, you know, mom-and-pop investors. They had no concept of data science, no concept of statistical analysis. So I realized I actually have a huge advantage over other people because I could use big data to predict trends and locations that people had never even heard of. in technology, we do that. We do it and we get a few months of advantages before somebody else comes along and they do it much better than us. But in real estate, I realized nerds like me can actually create lasting advantages, right? We can actually stay ahead of everyone else for years and years and years. So this real estate data science, it became an obsession. It became a hobby of mine. So from 2008 to 2014, 6 years, I ran this big tech company, hundreds of employees, and I was spending every evening, every weekend mining data about US cities and creating and applying data science rules to real estate. And then I was using those real rules to buy a pretty decent sized portfolio using my own money. And then I started sharing my thoughts. I started teaching data science at meetups in the San Francisco Bay Area. Eventually ended up becoming a micro celebrity. There's conference organizers that started calling me to teach people about how to use big data. They liked the fact that I didn't have anything to sell. Like, you know, I'm not a real estate guy. I was just sharing what I was doing with my own portfolio. And so my nerdy audiences sort of liked that. So I got better. I got funnier at presenting. And so this community of nerds sort of gathered around me. And once I sold my tech company in 2013, I retired for a year, then decided to jump in full time. Here I am. I mean, I'm working with about 800 nerdy investors. I keep using that word on about $1 billion in real estate. And it's just sort of happened. You know, it wasn't really planned.
A lot of investors started by reading that little purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but you became atypical somewhere along the way. Not everyone can be the mad scientist of multifamily real estate like you are. Neil doesn't quite use flasks and beakers, and you know, he didn't quite burn his microphone there with a Bunsen burner while we're talking, but he has differentiated himself as being really different in the industry. And Neil, I know one place where you come down differently than a lot of people do in the industry is what's happened with mortgage interest rates. They're up about 2.5% from their all-time low in January of 2021.
I think it's going to be very dramatic. And one simple reason for that, you mentioned it. Everyone's worrying about interest rates going up and they're ignoring the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is QE or quantitative easing. On March 11, 2020, when COVID started, the Federal Reserve of the US had a balance sheet of $4.3 trillion, that's with a T. Today, that balance sheet is $9 trillion. So essentially, over the last 2 years, the Fed became the buyer of last resort and they printed $5 trillion to buy anything that anyone else didn't want to buy, bonds and mortgages and municipal debt, you name it, anything. And now the Fed is going the other way. Instead of buying all of these things, they're starting to sell them this month. So we go from an insanely liquid market where everything gets bought to a more normal market. And the real estate market is not priced for normal, it's priced for crazy. So the 30-year Fed mortgage rate, you just mentioned it, gone from 3.1 to 5.2 in 4 months, is likely to continue going up. So the impact is huge. The risks are outsized. I can tell you what I'm doing. First thing is accept the risk. This is not the end of the real estate market. The market goes up, market goes down, rates go up, rates go down. And even over the last 10, 15 years where rates have been falling in general, there are lots of times where they've spiked 1.5% up and didn't end the market, didn't end the party. But first, accept the risk. Once you accept the risk, ask what you can do. Every one of us is going to be able to actually do different things if we really, really think about it. So I'm going to give you an example of how big a deal I think this is for me, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things, one of my divisions builds turnkey fourplexes for investors. So we sold about $50 million worth last year. For all of those people, we've introduced an interest rate cap program. So we pay the extra interest beyond a certain interest rate threshold. And we call this the GrowCapitus Interest Rate Protection Program, or GIRP, horrible acronym, by the way. And we've already seen this massive uptake amongst our investors. The hunger, the desire to buy quality real estate is there, but people are afraid. They're sitting on the sidelines because of interest rates. The moment we gave them a way to just completely forget about the interest rate, we saw a massive uptake. So I think, Keith, we're going to see many more creative measures like that to keep the party going, because overall the market is strong, but we've got to do something to get investors over this interest rate hump. So that's just an example.
Interest rates having so much to do with that affordability component of real estate. We continue to be in this unusual time where we have this inversion, where we have inflation that's greater than interest rates.
We do. And again, some of these are momentary. Some of these, you know, come and go. We've seen these kinds of inversions happen before, but there's something else that's happening. In my mind, what I'm seeing, Keith, is this. The biggest challenge in real estate today is something known as confirmation bias. We have investors who in the last 10 years, all they've learned is that for the vast majority of people that invest in real estate, they're going to make money. They're not going to lose any money. So less than 1% of investors that invested in real estate over the last 10 years, you know, lost money. That's a very, 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 very small, much larger than the stock market. And because of that, there's this confirmation bias that the next 10 years are going to look like the last 10. And they can't.
They never
absolutely
do.
Can't. And there's a few things I want to mention there. Number one, if you're data-driven, you know that well over 80% of all profits from real estate in the last decade came from appreciation, well over 80%. So 10 to 15% came from cash flow. The second piece of this, the US market for the last 25 years has been the world's anomaly. No developed country in the world other than the US has any real cash flow. Not Canada, not Europe, Japan, India, China. No one has cash flow. Worldwide, real estate is a pure appreciation play. And today it's turning into that in the US because prices are going up much faster than rents are. Everyone who thinks that this is unsustainable actually doesn't understand that real estate is now a preferred asset class worldwide. More and more institutional money coming in, more and more retail money coming in. So that cash flow is going to keep diminishing. Sure, every time there's a recession, prices will go down. After recessions, they'll go up. But the overall direction is for the rent-to-price ratio to keep going down worldwide. So forget 1%. In many countries, it's not even 0.5%. And real estate is still a huge asset class in those countries. We are not any different. We're just catching up. And the harsh reality of that needs to be accepted by the real estate investment markets, right? This is something that needs to change. You need to stop chasing these outdated rules like 1% and understand the challenges. The next 10 years cannot resemble the last 10 because the last 10 was so crazy unusual.
When Neil mentions the 1%, he's talking about the rent to value ratio, which some people call the rent to price ratio. That's the ratio of 1 month's rent to the total purchase price or value of the property. And Neil, Americans have, in some contexts, still have it pretty good. There was a recent media article published about how Canadian residential real estate prices are fully twice of United States residential real estate prices.
That's right. And you can apply that to almost any country in Europe, right? So you can apply that to London, you can apply it to Paris, any major country in the world, or if you want to apply it to Asia, Singapore and Hong Kong are 3x or 4x the US. So you're right. We've still got it better than everyone else in the world. But keep in mind, most of the world, when you buy real estate, you're cash flow negative for 5 to 10 years. So you've got to take it in context that cash flow is going to diminish. What you need to do is build strategic advantages. And that's what one of the things that my company does. We've realized that with the population growth in the US slowing dramatically, and then you have this aging population, you've got debt overhangs, which are slowing growth. In the next 10 years, the people that are going to win in real estate are going to be people that use data and are very strategic. In the last 10 years, as long as you did a decent job of finding a good place to rent, you made money regardless of where you did it in the US. You could have done it anywhere from Detroit to San Francisco. I'm going to argue that that is absolutely 100% impossible in the next 10 years. The vast majority of people that will lose money are people that will do what they did in the last 10. I'm going to buy a nice property, I'm going to manage it, and it's going to make money. No, it's going to lose money. So you have to use data science. What is essentially going to happen is roughly 70% of US counties are losing population. That's going to accelerate. So it's going to get to about 76, 77% within the next 5 years. It's the rest of the US, the remaining 23%, where 99% of real estate profits are going to be made, adjusted for inflation. You may still make dollars, but you've got to stay ahead of inflation to actually make any real money. And inflation, as you know, is accelerated from 2% to 8.5% day before yesterday. If you want to stay ahead of inflation and make real money, real wealth, you've got to be playing in the 23% of the US where population growth and job growth, income growth, home price growth, crime reduction is still very, very strong. We think this is one of those cases where the data people are going to take over. I've only ever coined one phrase in my life, Keith, but I think it's a good one, right? So I say, the Bible got it wrong by one letter. It is not the meek that shall inherit the earth, Keith. It is the geek. It's the geek. I mean, look at it. Richest man in the world, geek. Second richest, geek. Third richest, geek. See a pattern developing there?
Spoken like a data-driven scientist.
hey, I'm a nerd and I'm proud of it. So to me, what I believe is going to happen is real estate will get riskier for people that are not using data science, because everyone else that's using data science is making it riskier for you.
Talking about confirmation bias with Grow Capitus's Neil Bawa. And Neil is telling us, hey, the next 10 years isn't going to resemble the last 10 years. And confirmation bias is really thinking that it will. One thing that I've been known for saying is people don't want information. People want affirmation. It's a lot easier for them to feel affirmed in what they already believe rather than be informed with fresh information and what's really going to happen. And one way in that you're really a futurist and using data to help interpret the future, Neil, is trends that are going to impact real estate the most when it comes to things like construction and property type, whether that's modular construction or tiny homes or shipping containers or 3D printing, or is it just this remote work trend that we've gone to? So tell us about where are the biggest impacts going to be felt from your view?
I loved what you said in the first part of what you were saying, right? We are so used to confirmation bias. Yeah. I think the best way to get around confirmation bias, every time you're wrong, write it down and say it as often as you can, because that really starts to break confirmation bias down. To be data-driven, first, we have to continuously acknowledge when we're wrong. And what's interesting is you can be data-driven and still be wrong because of some factor that you didn't consider, or maybe the factors that you thought were big were actually much smaller.
COVID, so I think war in Ukraine.
Yeah. Exactly. All these kinds of things. The war in Ukraine has changed so many things for so many data-driven people. They've all been wrong, right? Including myself. Bottom line is when we are wrong, that's when we start to kind of look forward. That's when we start to guess and be better at the trends in the future. I think the biggest trend, I'm studying all of these trends. I'm studying 3D printing. I'm studying tokenization or blockchain, basically, which is a very, very interesting trend. But I think the one that is the easiest for people to get their head around, if there was one that was like, okay, I'm not super nerdy like Neil, but I want to get around one trend and I want to write it, it's remote work. Because at this point, I can tell you this, we've never had a lower rate of COVID cases in the US in the last 2 years. So this is being recorded in May 2022. So lowest rate of COVID's in the US, right? This means that you would think, especially in Republican states, that people would be returning to work. Well, there's this company that I get data from that swipes keys at offices. So every time everyone walks into an office, they swipe a key. This right. company gathers that data to see how many workers are coming to work compared to 2 years ago. The answer is in places, in Texas, like Austin, 43% of key swipes compared to 2 years ago. Remote work is here to stay. Hybrid work is here to stay. And it is so massive. It is so enormous in its size that it changes all of the rules of real estate. It changes every single rules. The San Francisco Bay Area by far has been the most vibrant part of the US economy for 25, 30 years. It's got the highest prices. It's got the highest education levels. It's got, you know, amazing universities. They lost population. For the first time, the San Francisco Bay Area lost population last year. San Diego County lost population last year. This stuff doesn't just happen unless there's an earth-shaking shift. And that's what's happening. To me, it is all about following where are people going and where are they going from? And there's actually a very simple way to learn that. Anyone can do it. Type in the words U-Haul Annual Migration Report.
Yes, I talked about that in the show before.
Amazing report, right? It's a fantastic report. And basically they say is, this is where people are going and here's why. And this is where they're coming from. So which states are losing population to what states? What cities are losing population to what cities? Like Los Angeles, for example, the most number of people Los Angeles loses is to Las Vegas. And then after that to Phoenix and to Boise. That information is absolutely critical because understand this, the next 10 years in real estate, if you do not use this information, I believe most people will lose money or not make money. And if you do make money, you'll make it at a rate lower than inflation, which essentially to me is the same as losing money. So you have to use data to make money because it's going to be very, very patchy. The key thing is use hybrid work. It's the easiest of the trends to use, with tokenization being the trend right after it.
If you've been listening to Neil closely, now you can put together how the remote work trend fuels this migration from the 77% or so of counties that are losing population to the 23% or so of counties that are gaining population. Neil and I are going to come back more and talk about what's next for real estate with respect to blockchain and smart contracts. You're listening to Get Rich Education. Our guest is Grow Capitus's Neil Bawa. More when we come back. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold. Hey, my friend Damian Lupo informed me that checkbook IRAs have been made illegal by the U.S. Tax Court.
If you have a checkbook IRA, your holdings are now disqualified with taxes and penalties up to 50%. But don't panic. Damien and the EQRP company can fix this. Those IRAs can be converted into EQRPs retroactive to last year, getting those tax deductions and reducing your taxable income. And this way, you can invest your 401k or IRA in real estate, Bitcoin, gold, and even your own business. So whether you're a full-time investor or retired or even a dentist with dozens of employees, if you're listening, you qualify. The EQRP works. It's the solution. You'll control your money, kill UBIT, and pay way less taxes. To learn more about this strategy and free up your retirement money, get the newest EQRP special report. Text GRE to 307-213-3475. That's text GRE to 307-213-3475. The people that our listeners can't stop talking about are Ridge Lending Group, NMLS 42056. They've provided GRE listeners with more loans than anyone, and it's where I got my last few loans. They finance single-family income property up to fourplexes. They're the number one lender for beginners and veterans. Start your pre-qualification, chat with President Shaley Ridge personally, and get your custom plan for expanding your cash-flowing portfolio. Start at RidgeLendingGroup.com.
This is Peak Prosperity's Chris Martinson. Listen to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold and don't quit your daydream.
Welcome back to Get Rich Education. We're talking with Neil Bawa, the mad scientist of multifamily. There are a few ways you can learn about him. One of them is at multifamilyu, that's the letter U.com. The mad scientist lives by two mantras. His first mantra is that we can only manage what we can measure. And his second mantra is that data beats gut feel by a million miles. So these mantras and a dozen other disruptive beliefs drive profit for his 800 plus investors. And you know, a lot of people wonder about things like tokenization and smart contracts, much of which is centered around the blockchain. So just starting at the beginning, and we can talk about how this relates to real estate next, what is the blockchain?
Blockchain is basically a technology that allows you to take information that is stored away in places that is not accessible to us, like government firewalls or being on Google servers, and store it in a place that's public enough, but it's still secure. So the data that needs to be secure is secure. It's replicated across the world. So no one government, not even Putin's government, can manipulate it. And so the power of blockchain technology is that it allows the democratization of information. It allows the information to be consistent, but it still allows it to be extraordinarily secure. The most popular blockchain technology is the currency Bitcoin. But that's just the beginning. To me, I think that you're just scratching the surface of the incredible power of blockchain if you're investing in Bitcoin. Now, I like Bitcoin. I invest in Bitcoin. But the vast majority of my blockchain investments have nothing to do with Bitcoin itself. I believe it's the power, the infrastructure, the backend infrastructure of Web3 that has so much more power. And I think one of the most powerful applications in the next 5 years is real estate.
I think of a short way to describe blockchain as a decentralized digital ledger. Ethereum is built on top of a blockchain. Bitcoin is the best known highest market cap currency on the blockchain. Like you mentioned, a lot of people wonder now, how does this decentralized digital ledger, how would something like that blockchain relate to real estate?
If you look at real estate, we are the largest industry in the world. The worldwide real estate market is three times the size of the worldwide stock market, right? So it's massive. But when you look at it, there is simply no central mechanism to transact real estate. Every county in the United States, and there's tens of thousands of them, has a completely different way of registering real estate transactions. That is archaic. It's stupid. Obviously, stocks don't do it. It doesn't really matter which app you use for transacting stocks. You can use Robinhood or E-Trade. It's the same stock. It's the same price. When you look at every other asset class in the US that's the size of real estate, all of them have become digitally uniform. There's one asset class left, and that's real estate. There's reasons why they're not digitally uniform. Real estate is location specific. It's not as scalable as something like stocks. So it takes longer for that to happen. But it is happening because it is just so much better. The first house in the US that basically was sold without there being an escrow, a title company involved, was sold in Chicago a few months ago. And a digital blockchain ledger was used to track this home and to make sure that the transaction was completed successfully. It is inevitable that within the next 5 years, the vast majority of real estate in the United States will be sold on the blockchain. And even better, it can be sold in pieces. The true power is not simply taking all of these offline transactions and recording them on a ledger on the web. That's very powerful, by the way, because if you and I are fighting over who's got ownership of this, now it never gets to court. The lawyers simply go in, look it up on the web and say, hey, well, sorry, Neil, it's Keith that owns this property. Here's the record. And to be able to do that in a centralized fashion is something that we've been talking about for decades, but the technology didn't exist to make it work and to make it work in a secure fashion. Now it exists. It's called the blockchain. And its usage is going to completely revolutionize the way that we use real estate, especially because of a secondary technology called tokenization.
And to make things clear for the listener, I had likened Bitcoin to using a decentralized ledger for its blockchain. Are you talking about using a centralized ledger here for real estate, something different? And tell us about the difference.
What happens with something like Bitcoin is, right, you have a digital wallet. Let's say you use a 1234 password, somebody hacks it, that Bitcoin is now gone forever. But when you invest in real estate, the money actually is not on the blockchain. The money is still in the property. What you're trying to do is you're trying to digitize the ownership of that particular property. So real estate actually works better than something like Bitcoin, where if your wallet gets hacked, you're screwed. But here, you actually can regain control of it. So it is still centralized. There's still a level of control over it, but it's still far more efficient. And more importantly, you can now finally do something that stock market people have been trying to do for decades. And that is, nobody sells one stock for Google. That would be, you know, whatever, $600 billion. You take a company and you break it up into chunks, right? We call them shares. You're now going to be able to do that for real estate. And it completely changes the way that anyone ever invests in real estate. And I'll give you an example of this. Keith and I go to a party and we're both talking, and there's this guy and he seems very knowledgeable. And he's talking about a certain stock and he says, you know, I will guarantee that this stock is going to double in value. Well, Keith and I are going to go to a corner. We're going to fish out our phones and use Robinhood or E-Trade, and we're going to buy that stock if we believe him. But 10 minutes later, we go to another guy and he's even better. And he says, I know that there's the single family market in this tiny little market called Idaho Falls is the best in the US. It will grow faster than everybody else. And we both believe him. We believe that for whatever reason, he's right. There is simply no mechanism today for us to go out, take out our phones and buy real estate in Idaho Falls.
There's friction.
That process of, exactly, that friction takes many, many months. And in over 9,999 out of 10,000 cases, we never do anything about it because the friction is overwhelming, right?
Right?
It takes months or years to build a base. And that friction means that real estate can never reach its true value. Stocks have no friction. They get transmitted all the time. And to a certain extent, Bitcoin doesn't have friction either because you can buy and sell whenever you want. You can't do that with real estate. And that prevents this asset class from being worth truly the best in the world. And that's what tokenization does. It allows us to take a single family home or a hotel or a multifamily, break it up into chunks, into tokens, and host those tokens securely on the web and have people buy tokens. So in this example, I believe 5 years from now, Keith and I are going to go to the corner of the room. We're going to fish out the real estate equivalent of E-Trade or Robinhood. And we're going to go search for Idaho Falls, see a bunch of properties that are listed there and buy tokens. Tap, 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 tap. And before we're done, we own $50,000 worth of real estate in Idaho Falls. That's zero friction. In 5 years, we get from where we are today, astonishing amount of friction. I'm shocked that real estate even works with this much friction, to a zero friction world. All of it possible through the technology that the blockchain allows and the decentralized nature of the hosted ledger.
This tokenization that you've just described, allowing people to easily buy fractional pieces of real estate, increases the asset class's liquidity. and therefore potentially increases its value as well, at least from this perspective. So that's tokenization of real estate on top of the blockchain. Another thing that the blockchain looks to disrupt, and you're talking about how much it's going to disrupt in just the next 5 years, is title companies and the title insurance industry. Title insurance, that's basically something that protects parties from title defects like back taxes or liens. And oftentimes the borrower needs to pay for the lender's title insurance at the closing table before they buy the property. And these are fees which some people feel are exorbitant for these deep searches that are currently being done to make sure that clean titles are there. So tell us more about how blockchain and real estate could disrupt the title insurance industry, Neil.
It just becomes unnecessary. I mean, you look at how many industries in the United States are unnecessary today. The best example that I can give you is 1996, 1995, we have thousands and thousands of travel agents because travel agents did deep searches within airline, not websites, but airline software to go and find a ticket for you. Eventually, technology got to the point where you could actually do just as good of a job as they could, right? What we are doing is we're using the power of the blockchain to slowly move this offline data, which is in 1,000 different remote places, and moving them to one set of centralized locations and a centralized format, allowing title search to be done maybe in a minute or two, where its value might be $10 or $0 even one day. And so that piece of the chain, the value chain, just goes away. And once again, it reduces the friction that is inherent to real estate. That is going to go away, right? Anyone that thinks that real estate will always have this friction doesn't truly understand that technology moves from easiest problem to hardest problem. We've overcome a lot of friction in a lot of other industries, whether it's banking or airlines or insurance. And now the largest amount of venture capital money on the planet is focused on how do I take this thing called real estate and make it frictionless? The timing is really good because just like the iPhone couldn't have been made before 2007, you couldn't really make real estate frictionless until a technology called the blockchain existed. It was widely adopted, it had standards, and it had millions of people that know how to program on it.
Maybe I can get your last thoughts on the blockchain and tokenization. We've been talking about the upsides of this technology. How about some downsides for blockchain or tokenization as the industry perhaps inevitably moves that direction?
This is a question I get a lot. I like talking about it, right? So you look at how Amazon put a bunch of websites out of business, and you look at how Walmart's put tens of thousands of mom and pop neighborhood stores out of business. Technology has an aggregation effect. It has a effect where the companies at the top always take bigger and bigger portions of the pie. So in the short run, I expect the prices of real estate to go up as friction reduces and liquidity increases. There's going to be an upswell effect. And it's not just in the US. It's going to happen worldwide as we adopt blockchain technology for real estate. The US is actually one of the leaders in this. We're going to start adoption within the next year or so. So you get this upswell for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. It democratizes real estate. Everyone's investing. The 17-year-old that has $500 is investing in real estate just like they're investing in stocks today. But in the long run, unfortunately, what it does is the fact that all of this stuff is in one place. Well, the people with the largest amount of money and the largest amount of data science are going to ever grow bigger shares. So for example, today, 2% of all single family rental homes in the US are in the hands of institutional investors. 98 are mom and pop. That number is likely to go to many, many times that. Institutional investors could end up with 40% of the market just 10 years from now. And they're being extraordinarily aggressive. They're raising hundreds of billions of dollars in real estate because they see this friction world ending. And as BlackRock, that friction world ends, exactly. I mean, BlackRock's a perfect example. So is Blackstone. And as these companies come in 10, 15, 20 years from now, you end up with this situation where basically we're not mom and pop operators running our own business. We're basically working in Amazon. And so that's the downside effect that I see. I don't think it affects us for the first 5 or 6 years. You only see the upside first, and then you see the downside. If there's a message there, the message is you basically got to become BlackRock. How many websites are making huge amounts of money today? Maybe there's one Etsy, but then the rest of them are just, they're becoming resellers of Amazon. So that's the downside of technology. There's always a double-edged sword.
We're talking to the mad scientist of multifamily, a data-driven real estate investor and real estate company. And as much as this stuff lights up, Neil, I can attest that he still has not broken any flask or any beaker yet in this chat. Well, Neil, before I ask you how one can learn more about you, do you have any last thoughts with what we've talked about today?
Don't delude yourself. to think that you're going to keep doing what you're doing. That is highly, highly dangerous. We are over the next 10 years. And really step out of your comfort zone when it comes to looking at real estate that's not local. Because I think that just like you, at some point, Americans, you know, instead of flying to local places, started going to Bali and to Dubai, the same sort of stuff is happening with real estate. Look at national trends. Don't look at local. You're going to be really hurt if you do that. And never do not invest over the next 5 years in counties that are losing population. It hasn't hurt you in the past. It's guaranteed to hurt you in the future.
We do most of our investing across state lines around here at GRE. Neil, what's the best way for a listener to learn more about what you do?
I happen to be the only Neil Bawa on the World Wide Web, as long as you spell it as N-E-A-L-B-A-W-A. So type in N-E-A-L-B-A-W-A. You'll see about 150 podcasts. The one piece of information that we release every year that's very powerful is we release a list of smaller cities that no one's ever heard of that will have the fastest appreciation and rent growth in the U.S. You can get those. They're free. We don't charge anything. We don't have any subscriptions. We don't sell any data. We believe all data should be free, like Wikipedia. You can pick it up from our website, multifamilyu.com. That's multifamily followed by the letter u.com. Just go look for real estate trends. Make sure it's in January 2022 for this year. Go in there and you'll see an amazing list of cities. I guarantee you haven't even heard of 2/3 of these, but they are incredible moneymakers.
Neil, it's been really valuable today. Thanks so much for contributing to the knowledge of our listeners today on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, a lot of great knowledge from the mad scientist of multifamily today. Really, he gives quite a few reasons to be both bullish and bearish about the future of real estate, particularly income-producing property. We've already seen remote work change real estate, but there is a lot more where that's coming from. Blockchain being that digital ledger poised to disrupt the title industry and title insurance. And then tokenization, allowing you to buy shares of, say, one big property with an app on your phone while you're at a dinner party. Much of this transformation taking place within the next 5 years. Now, sometimes trends don't develop as quickly as what people think. If you remember, back in March of 2015, we had an episode here about how autonomous cars will change your future and change real estate, and many people think they still should, but that was over 7 years ago now. So autonomous car use has progressed substantially slower than what a lot of people thought. But with Neil's first appearance on the show today, blockchain technology is poised to influence real estate quite a bit faster than that, more likely. Well, as far as we know, there's only one Neil Bawa in the world out there. So to get into his world, simply start by searching his name. He's got a lively, engaging way of teaching and a lot of great resources for you, too. Coming up here on the GRE podcast down the road, a lot of great shows, including the mindset and relationship building mogul and Miracle Morning author Hal Elrod, along with you and I. Until next week, I'm your host, Keith Weinhold. Don't quit your daydream.
Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Get Rich Education, LLC, exclusively.
The preceding program was brought to you by your home for wealth building, getricheducation.com.